This story is again a story about Jesus teaching on his way up to Jerusalem. And in this instance, it is a story about a conversation that happens when Jesus is in the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath. So it was a Sabbath celebration and a big dinner because there are a significant number of guests, and the issue is where they sit and arrange themselves. And the controversy is then generated by Jesus when he sees how they're variously vying to get the best seats at the table. The structure of this series of sayings is, first of all, the setting. He was eating a meal on the Sabbath. They were watching him closely. And then he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor and told them this parable. The first parable is the two episodes around the issues of where you sit at a banquet. So the first episode is what you should not do. Don't sit at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished and so on in relation to the host. The second part has the same structure, but in this case, it is do sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say, friend, move up higher. The end of this description, recommendations about where to sit at a banquet, is the point of this parable. All who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. The fourth episode is a recommendation by Jesus to the host about, again, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite, but then when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And then, once again, the teaching in regard to this, you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So, if you identify again the structure, the logic of this series of sayings, it's an easy story to learn. Now, the dynamics of this are essentially very urbane. This is dinner time conversation, and of the wise sayings of Jesus that he gives at dinners when everybody is gathered around the table reclining at a great banquet. So there isn't any major conflict. These are rather matters for reflection in light of the coming of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is teaching about that, as he virtually always is. Now, the parable here is indicative of what parables meant, that is, many different kinds of wisdom sayings, of mashals, of comparisons. So the comparison here is between appropriate behavior at a wedding banquet and inappropriate behavior in light of the coming of the government of God in the world. And this observation about what to do in relation to the places of honor at a wedding banquet is the parable about what will happen with the coming of the kingdom. Namely, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the parable is then the contrast between ways of behaving at a wedding banquet. The second part of this, that is the recommendations to the host about who to invite to dinner, is in a way another parable about what to do in relation to the coming of the kingdom of God. That is turned into a parable by the final observation. You'll be blessed because they cannot repay you. You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The saying here with a group of Pharisees is also restated as the teaching after the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in chapter 18. So this saying is virtually repeated word for word in 18:14. And the subject of this is an appropriate spirituality in relation to the kingdom of God. Clearly, in the context of the Pharisaic communities of first century Judaism, as is also the case in relation to Christian communities in the 21st century, an issue is using religion as a means of self-glorification and power. Many people do this. Many clergy do that then and now. So the dynamic of the interaction between religion and honor, of striving for honor and trying to move oneself up in the ranks of honor, either at work or in the context of religious organizations, the Methodist Church of annual conferences and trying to move up higher on the hierarchy, this is something that happens in virtually every organization, is that there are ongoing, indirect, under-the-surface contests going on in regard to who's going to be higher in the rankings of the community. The basic message in relation to the kingdom of God is that those who participate in that kind of pursuit of honor in this evil age will be leveled, and that there will be a sorting of those who were humble and those who exalted themselves. This great leveling actually happens in history. We look back on the kings and nobles and people who strove for power and often evaluate them as being among the worst of their contemporaries. So, for example, in Luke's time, the emperor was Domitian, the second son of Vespasian. He was probably the worst emperor in the entire history of Rome. And after he died, the Roman Senate issued a decree called the Damnatio Memoriae, in which all evidence of Domitian was to be eliminated from Rome. All the statues were to be torn down. Every place where his name was inscribed was to be blotted out. All records of Domitian were to be eliminated. He was subjected then to being humiliated in memory. And why? Because he, more than probably any other emperor, tried to exalt himself and make himself in a position of power over other senators, over other emperors. He required people who came in to speak to him, to address him as my Lord and my God. So he made himself a god so that people would literally worship him. Now, Domitian's damnation by his contemporaries is only a relatively grotesque example of something that happens over and over again throughout history. That is, the people who were regarded as humble and unimportant in their time are, in retrospect, seen as having been absolutely central and of great importance and value. And those who strove for power are humiliated, are put in their place. This great leveling is something that Jesus talks about all the time. The first will be last, and the last first. And if this is the case in relation to the assessments that happen in human history, how much more so will this be the case in relation to the great assessment that will come in light of the values of the kingdom of God? We recognize this as a dynamic now. People who were humble in their time but who were righteous who cared for people, are regarded as having great esteem, whereas those who may have had great power or money, whatever, are often not honored and respected because they tried to exalt themselves. One of the specifics of this in relation to the ways of humility that can be identified in relation to this spirituality in one's own self-examination is to identify what are the things that I regard as being below me. What is too humble for me to do? We all have these. And so one way of identifying where you place yourself in relation to the various hierarchies of value is to identify for yourself what's below me. What is too good? What am I too good to do? Whatever that might be. And you know, that may have to do with details. It may have to do with certain kinds of cleaning. It may have to do with work that is for them to do, but that I will not do. This self-examination in relation to the dynamics of self-glorification versus humility is, at its core, something that each person has to do for themselves. Now, the second part of this story, Jesus' recommendations to the host, is in fact a really hard saying. This concept that we should invite to dinner the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind is something that, as far as I can identify, almost nobody does in relation to obeying Jesus' teaching in regard to this. The invitations to dinner among Christian communities are not significantly different than what happens in the rest of the society. We generally don't invite to dinner people who are poor and maimed and blind and lame. And so this is one of the sayings of Jesus that we have largely rejected and that we don't take seriously. The promise that Jesus identifies in relation to this teaching is that those who pursue this practice of inviting the poor, the maimed, and the blind, and the lame, is also a sign of the kingdom of God, that in the kingdom of God, the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame will be welcomed to the great banquets of the kingdom of God and will be given places of honor and will be respected, and that that respect of the poor, those who have been crippled or blinded by things beyond their control, that this is a sign of the character of the kingdom of God. Now, there are agencies that the church has sponsored that care for people, the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. And hospitals that have been established by the church often provide this kind of care. Unfortunately, many of the church's hospitals have now been taken over by for-profit companies that do not practice that because they can't pay anything. The clear mandate from Jesus' teaching is that a responsibility and, as he would put it, an opportunity for everyone is to be repaid for righteousness in the coming of the kingdom of God, the resurrection of the righteous, by having given gifts for which one cannot be repaid. So the concept of the resurrection of the righteous, the promise that a dimension of the end, that is the dawning of the full presence of the government of God in the world, will be that the righteous will be raised, and that that is the reward that is promised for those who would do actions such as this, that is, give a banquet, a big dinner for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Have fun telling this story.